Hello and welcome to the T3 podcast, which this week has gone slightly Bond crazy. Do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die! We'll hear how Chris got on when he met Jaws for some shocking product plugging.
What are your favourite gadgets that you like to use?
Well, my favourite gadget is my new Swatch watch.
Beats a new book. We'll be examining the complete lack of Bond gadgets. Speaking of gadgets, the T-Mobile G1 is now on sale. Have you got one? We did. Now it's gone. Swines. And Nokia comes with music, but Dat's Music Lounge comes without DRM. Have we just found the perfect music subscription service? All that and much less. But before we begin, let me introduce my co-presenter, T3's Mr. Duncan Bell.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello there.
Hello. Now then, Duncan. Let's get ready to grumble. Yes, it's rant time.
That's very good.
Thank you. What's been turning your cornflakes soggy this week?
Well, nothing in particular, but I've come up with a surefire way for us to boost our ratings.
Ooh.
And get more exposure.
Yes.
So I just want to say, Andrew Sachs, I never really liked you in Fawlty Towers and your granddaughter wears... unsuitable clothing.
What is she, a vampire?
She's a gothic sex slut or something.
Yeah. No.
I haven't had sex with her.
Chris is like...
with her being a woman. But
waving at us frantically like, no!
No, this is good. I'll just resign next week, but we'll have like 10 times
Fine.
As many listeners.
And I'll apologise.
Yeah.
And Andrew Sachs will become very famous.
Yeah, he's...
You know when they released Fawlty Towers in Spain, they had to explain that he was from...
meant to be Spanish.
They had to say he was from Mexico.
Oh, okay.
Just to stop revolts.
I see. Yeah, yeah. Because they pick on the Mexicans, yeah. We pick on the Spanish.
And yeah. In Barcelona, they don't say Barcelona, as Manuel does.
Oh, right.
They say Barcelona.
Oh, okay.
Everyone else, all the rest of Spain says
that's
Barcelona.
Very disappointing, because I always thought
Manuel you know
was
Manuel
an authentic Spanish...
Yep.
So that had nothing to do with technology. Actually, one thing about technology I always say is there's this film called The Fall, which I saw at the weekend. Mm-hmm. It's the best looking film I've ever seen. So
good.
We must all lobby for that to come out on Blu-ray, because it's quite culty, so it might not.
Speaking of which, I finally have a high-def telly.
All right, well, we're done. Well, you'd love this on your new high-def telly.
There we are. All of 15 inches.
Oh, right.
Yeah, don't worry. The big one's coming. It's fine.
Okay.
Now, it's Bond Day. Quantum of Solace launches in cinemas across the country from today. The 22nd Bond film picks up just an hour after the conclusion of Casino Royale. They got that knocked out quickly. Let's hear a snippet of what's in store.
Mm-hmm. He'd be a pretty cold bastard who didn't want revenge for the death of someone he loved.
I don't think the dead care about vengeance.
The first thing you should know about us is that we have people everywhere.
How can they be everywhere and we know nothing about them?
Name check, Dominic Green.
He's a person of extreme interest.
We've already begun destabilizing the government.
Get in.
All right.
Seems we're both using Green to get to somewhere.
You lost somebody?
I did.
There you go, a 40-second vignette of the new James Bond, Quantum of Solace.
Yes.
Are you looking forward to this, Duncan?
Well, do you know what? I was, and then I came in this morning, and a couple of colleagues had been to see the the premiere last night, and they said, oh, I didn't like it at all, it was rubbish. So I was, like, if you'd asked me this 24 hours ago, I'd have said yes, but now suddenly I'm not so much.
Well, I'm seriously miffed, actually, because I just missed out on tickets for the London Film Festival premiere, which was the big one like a couple of weeks ago. And I joined the BFI just to get tickets for it. And they'd all sold out. And then they sent me an email saying, oh, quickly, more tickets have been released. But they sent it me in the morning. I didn't look at my email until the afternoon.
You see, well, that's why you should always check your email.
I know. I was really, really gutted.
You can find out about how to make your genitals larger and as well at the same time.
So I'm going to have to see it with just about everyone else.
I think I'm not having to be honest, from what Joe and...
I thought, reviews have been pretty positive.
No, they've been a little bit mixed, actually, because a lot of them said, although it is pretty good, it's kind of disappointing after Casino Royale.
But then
Casino Royale was
raised the
pretty
bar.
Exceptional
raise the bar.
For a Bond film.
Mm. Let's get a sort of a gist of what happens. Bond heads to Haiti, meets Camille, who we just heard earlier, telling him to get in the car. She helps him find Mr. Green, chairman of Green Planet, who wants to overthrow the government of Bolivia, as you do, and control its water supply. Bond is sent to foil him, while all the while having to suppress his desire for retribution for Vesper Lynn's death.
Okay. got, that doesn't sound like the most exciting plot, does it? Well, it sounds exciting, it's, though. It's,
you know,
like Bolivia.
It mixes, you know. Well, you see, that is a kind of.
Are we going to talk about any gadgets?
Real-life scenario. Don't worry, we're getting on to that. It is an almost real-life scenario that, you know, there have been evil corporations trying to sort of monopolize countries' water supplies and things like that.
Have they? Yes, well, I suppose they have. And yeah, is it called, is the green thing, is that a little...
It's a pun.
Is it having a go at sort of eco...
Well, he's pretending... It's having a go at companies that pretend to be green.
Okay, right. Mm. Like those people who made the Dutch tub that, like, we gave the like Eco Gadget Year Award to 2 years ago.
Or those sort of oil companies that change the colour of their logo and go, look.
Oh, well, those disposable camera people.
Yeah, what
who
was
are
that
like,
about?
We're reusing screens from phones, so that's very green. Mm.
Now, you did mention gadgets, and usually usually we'd say it wouldn't be Bond without the gadgets, but there aren't actually that many in this film.
No, they've even apparently toned down, because obviously the gadgets in the last film, they weren't classic Bond gadgets in that they weren't, you know, like a car that turns into a Hoover.
Well, you know, some of the gadgets got ridiculous in the Pierce Brosnan years, you know, sort of invisible cars and things. I mean, that was a nonsense.
But apparently in this one, they've even scaled back on the number of Sony products that are...
Yes, the product placement.
Very prominently. On a regular basis.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be that, you know, there'd be that ridiculous scene where he goes down and Q introduces him to, you know, gadgets that are incredibly well matched for the henchman he's going to have to deal with later on, and any, you know, particular situation. You know, as soon as they show you the watch with the laser beam, that it's going to be used for
exactly.
You know.
Although it would be funny if it never was.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. You know, they should introduce some, like, amazing gadgets, and they'd just never use them.
Yeah, get to the end of the film and be like... Well, it's good that we've saved the world, but it would have been nice to have used the
watch. He could, like, use the laser to kind of light the candles in his, you know, in his romantic dinner that he always has or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Open the condom.
But I thought perhaps we could assess, instead of the gadgets, the cars and the girls, which are the other crucial elements of any Bond film. The Ukrainian Olga Kirilenko plays Bond's latest squeeze, Camille. What do you think of her?
She's quite nice for a lady, I suppose. She was going to be on the cover of T3. But then it fell through because she's basically the property of FHM magazine for the periods that
they own her.
Well, her photographs or something.
Mm. So who did you use instead?
I've absolutely no idea. Some other woman.
Who looked like
I mean, to be honest, I'd never heard of Olga Legova or whatever her name is before.
I met a Bond girl, Rachel someone. Oh, God, I can't remember.
One of the famous
name.
Ones.
Yeah, she was secret agent, Peaceful Fountains of Desire in one of the Pierce Brosnan ones. There you go.
Her name was Peaceful Fountains of Desire.
Secret agent, Peaceful Fountains of Desire. She's the one who's behind the mirror when he throws the gun at him.
At least Pussy Galore, you could just about imagine, might be a name. That's just
in some.
That's just a sentence.
Way. There we go.
It's not even really. It's not a very sort of sexy name either.
Okay, moving on to the car then. The Aston Martin DBS, which is exactly the same car as the last one.
Yes, it was. Although Aston Martins do, it's like the gun, isn't it? I mean, Aston Martins do recur in James Bond films.
Yeah,
and Aston Martin don't make that many cars. So
the DB5 appeared in no fewer than three.
You mean
films.
No fewer than three?
Yes, I instantly corrected myself before even you got a chance. Phew. So, you know, perhaps two DBSs is no great problem.
But yeah, well, Aston Martin do have that that car that they've only made 700 of or something, which would work with 007, but I think it's not actually finished yet, so maybe it can go into
that
this.
That might be
film.
A problem.
This, well, Bond just couldn't get one.
The DB. Because they're so darn expensive.
That's how rare.
And
the,
budget cuts and credit crunches. The DBS is the one that you know, crashed into was it Lake Garda or whatever, when the guy was delivering it, and there was all that hoo-ha about, was the film cursed? And
oh, you mean in real life?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, because I was thinking, because when you said that, I was picturing the bit where it crashes in the last film.
No,
and I was like,
this is the
going
actual
into a lake.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, a couple of people died, actually, in the making of this film, didn't they? Or at least were extremely badly injured.
I think one was very injured. Daniel Craig got slightly injured. Nothing too serious. But, I mean, you know, obviously it's not a decent action film if people aren't hurt.
Well, that's true. We've actually got, in the next issue, this is a very early trailer for the next issue, we've got an interview with one of the stuntmen who has got full use of all of his limbs and things. In the next issue. So look out for that in 2 weeks' time, if you still remember.
How does this compare, then, to cars of yore? I'm thinking of the Lotus Esprit S1 in The Spy Who Loved Me.
Well, that... Because that was in our last... Obviously, we did Bond in the last issue.
Absolutely.
Or the current issue, I should say. And, God almighty, the Lotus Esprit, I don't think the years have been kind. It's very 70s, very ugly car.
It is a bit...
It's like a sort of...
Boxy,
wet, it's like something you'd use to hold a door open, really.
You would
it's
still,
especially a
surely,
wedge.
Wouldn't you go for one of those?
No. In the 70s, I suppose I would have. Because like everybody else in the world, I'd have completely lost any sense of taste or decorum.
Yeah.
And obviously the fact it turns into a submarine is super cool, but driving on the road, not so good, I think.
How does he get the fish? Because he winds down the window and hands a fish to someone on the beach. But how does the fish get in there? What, is it through the air conditioning system or something?
I suppose he must have opened one of the fan, the ventilator thing. I don't know, really. It's almost makes it seem unrealistic that car
almost,
could become a submarine.
Yes. That was when the fantasy was destroyed for me. It went downhill a bit in the BMW years, the Z8 in the world's 99.
Yeah, that wasn't right. I mean, I thought the Z8 was a great car, but yeah, like Bond driving a German car.
Just ridiculous. And of course, got back to the Aston in Die Another Day with the Aston Martin Vanquish, although that was the one that became invisible and just was slightly...
Less said about that, the better. Yeah. My favourite was the 2CV that he drove in... Not a fondly remembered Bond film. For Your Eyes Only.
I much prefer the Renault, the clapped out Renault. The was it the Renault 19 where he the roof comes off and then the back comes off and he's driving on two wheels. And
what was that in?
I was wondering.
Are you sure you're not thinking of the Citroën 2CV?
I don't know.
Anyway, and apparently the new one's got a car in it. Is it car? Ford make a car that's got a car.
Oh, the Ford car, yeah, is the little car.
I don't know a great deal about cars, as you well know.
Honestly.
Apparently there's one of those in it, anyway.
Okay. Presumably the new one, which has lost all the style appeal of the old one. But there we go.
Whatever.
Now, the lack of gadgets hasn't stopped the gadget spin-offs, of course. This is one, a Jaws-branded Swatch watch.
Yep.
Okay. T3.com sent Chris off to meet the man himself, Richard Keel.
And now they got my own Jaws Spy Who Loved Me watch. And
did they have to get a special size fit for you, or are you quite a big guy?
Yeah, it took about a half a dozen extra links.
What is it about that watch that makes it your watch?
Well, it has Jaws teeth in the wristband.
And do you have the teeth with you today?
No, I never had the teeth. They're in a museum that goes around the world.
So the teeth go in a museum around the world.
And what does Richard Keel do?
He
talks to Chris
on
T3.com.
plugging Swatch watches.
I think the teeth got the better deal.
I thought Chris was very brave there, asking, you know, did they have to make it bigger for you, you big fat bloke?
I think he was praising him on his musculature rather than trying to imply he was a big fatty. I've not seen the video. Has he gone to seed a bit?
The years haven't been that kind.
No, okay, fine.
As you say, but you know, he's still got some of his manners. But without the teeth, you know, as I say, the teeth are in a museum. You know,
that's true.
He just lacks that fearsome edge.
We actually got sent this brilliant James Bond lookalikes website thing the other day. It's like you can hire a Jaws lookalike and various other lookalikes, and they were all terrible. I think that goes without saying. But the Jaws one was particularly bad. It was literally just a bloke who had some metal teeth. That was as near as
probably
they could
nabbed
get
them from that museum.
Yeah, maybe.
Anyway, there's 22 of those watches in all, one for each baddie. So
yeah, makes sense.
Collect them all, as I say. Do you know what phone Jaws uses?
What phone Jaws? What,
well,
in the,
well,
in the
Richard,
film?
What phone Richard Keel uses
in real life?
Yeah.
How on earth would I know that?
Well,
I'm too conservative. I just bought a laser, and because I like the big keypad.
I like the big keys.
Me like Jaws smash. What's a laser anyway? Does it mean a razor?
Is that Motorola? I think don't they do a candy bar version? It's the
no, do they?
Something like that.
Okay,
it's probably American anyway. And the other tie-in is with Sony. There's a limited edition.
Yeah, the laptop.
Vio.
Yeah, that's quite nice.
3G internet, 4 gig of RAM, fingerprint security. Although everyone has that now, but it's still quite bothersome.
Fingerprint security is
pointless, isn't it? 120 gigabyte SSD, and this is the only real Bond thing about it. There's only 700 of them in the world, which of course is 007.
It's 007 backwards.
Backwards, yes. and available to pre-order from November the 7th. So
yeah, pretty good. Although it should really be July the 7th, shouldn't it? No, it shouldn't. It should be. Oh, I don't know.
Yes, July.
I messed that one up.
No, you were spot on. But there we go.
No, because he's 007, he's not 0077.
Well, last year the film came out on, wasn't it, 7th of 7th, 007.
Okay.
All that.
So that, again, stuff doesn't really make any sense. Oh, 2007, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Right. What do you make of these tie-ins then?
Lame as hell.
Ah.
Well, the Vio laptop's quite nice, and they've just put a 007 logo on it, so that's fine. And he does use
it's
a Vio of some
laptop.
Sort in the in the film. Yeah, it's just a nice laptop.
This is the problem with Bond gadgets now, because you know our gadgets do a lot of what you know Bond used to be able to do. With, you
that's
know,
true.
With
we still don't have the invisible car quite. But
yeah, that was.
Although
they're coming up with those, there were people basically saying, you know, we'll come up with an invisible cloak before long.
Well, they had they've
works
got this
bending
thing,
light round stuff,
and also when, and also this principle of basically filming what's behind you and then putting
it
on
the other
screen.
Yep.
So it...
There you go. So it could happen, but perhaps not quite as though it didn't bother.
It might not be able to move quite as fast as that bimmer.
Okay, well, enough Bond, because the G1 is here. It launched yesterday at T-Mobile stores with doors opening at 7 a.m. for eager buyers. We had one, but it's gone back.
Yeah.
So we can't have it here in the studio. It wasn't exactly pandemonium out there, Duncan. Do you know how long the first UK G1 owner had to queue for?
Well, presumably the first one. Oh, I see what you mean in terms of, I don't know, 10 minutes?
Well, not quite. 2 hours.
Okay.
Andy Burgess, a software programmer from Farringdon, queued from 5 a.m. at the Oxford Street store. Do you know what he said when he emerged?
That was a waste of time.
He said, I'm going to be popular at work.
I don't think you are, Andy.
If only it was that easy. Try deodorant. It's free from £40.
Oh, no, that's our Andrew Sachs moment.
Oh.
You just said that bloke smells.
Yeah, and I slept with his granddaughter as well. Free from £40 on... £40 plus tariffs. That includes Web and Walk, which makes it slightly cheaper to own than the iPhone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's free £45.
I had a funny thing with it. Well, not that funny. You're not going to laugh that much. But with the Android, because you know we were talking about it before, and I was saying it looks kind of dowdy and ugly. And anyway, I came into the office the other day, and a colleague had this kind of really nice-looking new phone. And I was like, oh, that looks quite cool. What's that? And she said, oh, it's the Android G1. And
the one you'd been slagging off.
Do you know what they had done to make it appealing to me? It was black.
That's
all you have to do to make me like anything. Because I'd only seen the sort of slightly off-white, beigey one.
Yeah.
Turn it black and immediately... Brilliant. It's like they do say about gadgets, once you've had black, you never go back.
Sex on a stick, yes.
I think it's gadgets they say that about.
Something like that. There's been breaking news, even on the day of launch. EA has announced 3 games.
All
Tetris.
Right.
Bejeweled.
What is EA Tetris?
And Monopoly.
Monopoly.
Hmm.
Well, okay.
They are saying
it's better than nothing, I suppose. That's more than you can get on the Engage platform.
Yeah, they are saying more to follow. But of course, I mean, Apple at the moment, they're basing their ads on the iPhone's gaming ability.
Yeah, most of the games on the iPhone, I've noticed, do seem to involve guiding a marble through a lens.
or some sort of alternative thereof.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. And I've tried, I've got a Sony Ericsson C902, which uses, tilting to steer in the car game. It's a bit crap, really.
That's not how you really steer a car, is it? That's why.
I don't, maybe if it was a motorbike one, because you kind of lean.
Maybe work more for that. Or maybe a marble. Because that's how you steer a marble, isn't it?
Or Super Monkey Ball, or whatever. Yeah, all that. Unlock-T-Mobile-G1.com claims to have unlocked
What does that do?
Yeah, they claim to have unlocked it.
Well, I suppose they would, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they've got a video to prove that they can, but it'll still cost you $23 to find out if it really does work.
Okay.
But
why would you want to unlock it? Oh, you mean unlock in terms of
the SIM? Yeah, you
can
use it on O2.
Because I was just about to say the whole point of it is
the
open platform.
The irony of irony is you could use it on O2.
Oh, you could. I'd chortle over that irony for weeks. Delicious irony of using it on O2.
I bet Andy Burgess is doing that right now.
I bet he probably is. Yeah, that's why he's so popular at work.
That will make him popular at work. Okay, well...
Not as popular as his granddaughter.
they are launching their own version in 2009, is the latest rumour.
Yeah, that's right. I read that on T3.com.
There you go. They have launched recently some nice... some powerful and well-equipped Windows mobile phones, but again, not so big with the sexiness.
No, not so big with the sexiness. No, but popular with people who queue for 2 hours. Actually, when you said how long is it necessary to queue for the phone? Although, you queue for 2 hours. Did he really need to?
No, absolutely not. No, you could go now and get one.
He could have turned up 5 minutes before it opened.
Yeah,
I reckon.
Absolutely. But there we go. Okay, well, you can get hold of a G1 right now. So pop down to T-Mobile and have a play.
Yes.
Now, Nokia comes with music, launched just a little while ago, but. It also came with some fiendish DRM. Mm. One new service hoping to get around all that is DATS Music Lounge. £100 will get you a year's access to DRM-free music that you can keep forever.
Forever and ever.
Surely the perfect music service, Duncan.
Possibly the perfect music service. I sometimes find that companies that have Z on the end of their names aren't...
Yes.
Is it meant to be like DATS Entertainment?
It is D-A-T-Z. Mm.
But yes, no, there is. I'm sure you're about to reveal what the slight drawback is with DATS's
As you pull out your phone and turn it off, hence that strange.
I do apologise for that. That actually was a work call, so God alone knows what's going on in the office. Perhaps the office is on fire while we're recording this.
Well, let's look at the cost first. £100 a year versus the price of a phone with Nokia, which is currently £130 on pay-as-you-go.
Yeah, although you do get a phone with that.
Yes, that is cheaper, but you can get a phone for £30 if you really want one.
Yeah,
even one that'll play music. So, yeah, £100 a year.
You get one of those Alcatel ones.
It uses MP3, which we have seen before. I mean, Amazon uses MP3, but we haven't ever seen it on a subscription service. They've always been tied hideously with DRM.
I know. Well, I think we're gradually building up to where the problem lies with all this. But yeah, using MP3 is pretty... I mean, my favourite music service by absolutely miles is eMusic, and that's DRM-free, MP3. Mm. And that is kind of subscription-based, but it's not. You pay a subscription, then unlimited downloads. You pay a subscription for a quite decent number of downloads.
Whereas this, I mean, you literally could just spend your entire year downloading
just downloading stuff
and have a colossal music library.
Were you able to find a single thing you wanted to download?
Ha!
Which is the elephant in the room that we're sneaking around
at
the moment.
Well, here's who is in. Mm-hmm. Okay. Beggar's Group?
Yeah, Beggar's Group. Well, Beggar's Group do some good, decent stuff. The Fall and Bauhaus.
There we go. EMI Music, which is one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. The Orchard and Warner Music, which is another of the big ones. So mm-hmm. two of the big four, with more labels promised, it says, over the coming weeks.
Now, yeah, I mean, I don't know how many of the indies and things they've got.
Yes, but that compares to all of the big four on Nokia, EMI, Sony BMG, Warner, and Universal, which basically means, you know, any current release is going to be on there.
Yeah, pretty much. And almost everything, obviously, is on iTunes, although that isn't subscription.
Do you know how many of the current top 10 are on DATS?
Well, do you know? I don't have the faintest idea what's in the top 10.
Well, that's why I furnished you with a list.
You've given me a list somewhere here. Okay, Girls Aloud, Pink. Guru Josh. Mm. I remember Guru Josh the first time round.
There you go.
His second single was called 1991, Time for the Guru. And then his next single was called 1992, Time to Go Away Now.
Ah, and he did until Infinity 2008, which is at number 3 currently.
Yeah, who knew that Guru Josh was so fondly remembered?
There you are.
What was the question again?
The question is, how many of the current top 10
3.
Are
I'm just going to say 3 because I've got
three.
No idea.
Okay, I can reveal it's actually 0.
Oh, right.
Not one.
All right, blimey.
Even Geraldine, the winner's song, not available.
So EMI and Warner's not doing so well.
Now, I don't know whether that's just because perhaps they're slow at updating their database or whatever, but yeah, that was when I looked them up this morning. None.
Okay.
But and also, most of those artists, they didn't even have anything for, or maybe they had one song off a Now album. So, you know, it really doesn't bode well.
Clearly, being the top 10, these are not obscure artists.
No, exactly.
But that's the thing, because it does seem to me to fall between two stools, because it's not, the pop kids aren't going to like it because it doesn't have all the pop music.
Mm-hmm.
People who are really into music are going to continue to go to e-music, because that's where you get all the kind of, you know, more obscure, indie, kind of alternative type stuff. And lots of electronic stuff and, you know, all the rest of it. I'm just plugging e-music now, basically. I like e-music. So, yeah, I think they need to sort out their licensing.
They do say more coming, so who knows.
Well,
but
quite.
If you're interested, it's £100. You can pick it up at Sainsbury's or dats.com. Okay, Satis, as they used to say in my Latin textbooks, that is enough and just about all we have time for. Time only for your quick-fire reactions to this week's last words, starting with the Casio solar-powered G-Shock.
Yes, horrible, like all G-Shock watches. And not much use in this country, particularly at the moment. Obviously.
Definitely not right now. The Vela Range Hood TV for above your cooker.
I've not seen that, but I suppose they could be useful for, you know, cooking shows.
There you go.
Obviously,
yeah.
Off the top of my head.
TomTom's petrol finding Go Live X40.
Yeah, I don't know how useful that is. I mean, a couple of sat-navs have had that sort of thing.
Yes, I don't think that's that new, is it? And you mentioned it earlier, the £30 Alcatel Lobster 621.
Yeah, well, it's cheap, isn't it?
It is cheap.
It reminds me a bit of the Motorola Sliver, which is to say that it looks horrible.
Oh, well. Well, you've passed with flying colours. Collect your certificate as you leave. That most definitely is all we have time for. Find us on iTunes, get the latest on T3.com, and find T3 on the shelves. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.